From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. We may understand this to refer to justification. They shall walk in white, that is, they shall enjoy a constant sense of their own justification by faith. They shall understand that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to them, that they have all been washed and made whiter than the newly fallen snow. Again, it refers to joy and gladness, for white robes were holiday dresses among the Jews. They who have not defiled their garments shall have their faces always bright. They shall understand what Solomon meant when he said, Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. Let thy garments be always white, for God hath accepted thy works. He who is accepted of God shall wear white garments of joy and gladness, while he walks in sweet communion with the Lord Jesus. Whence so many doubts, such misery and mourning? It is because so many believers defile their garments with sin and error, and hence they lose the joy of their salvation and the comfortable fellowship of the Lord Jesus. They do not here below walk in white. The promise also refers to walking in white before the throne of God. Those who have not defiled their garments here shall most certainly walk in white up yonder, where the white-robed hosts sing perpetual hallelujahs to the Most High. They shall possess joys inconceivable, happiness beyond a dream, bliss which imagination knoweth not, blessedness which even the stretch of desire hath not reached. The undefiled in the way shall have all this, not of merit nor of works, but of grace. They shall walk with Christ in white, for He has made them worthy. In His sweet company they shall drink of the living fountains of waters.
Thank you.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanfear. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. In dealing with the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns has been treating each one in separate messages. Today he concludes his exposition of the seventh commandment, Thou shalt not commit adultery. At the heart of this commandment is God's design to protect the uniqueness and sanctity of the marriage relationship. Part of that design includes the prohibition of easy divorce, something that is rampant in our society. The proper directing of man's God-given desires requires supernatural help, for the flesh is all too prone to sinful perversion. Now to conclude this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
Romans 7, verses 2 and 3 teach you that normally it is only death that allows a marriage to be dissolved. And after death of one partner, the other is free to marry. In Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, whosoever shall divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Jesus says, if you put away your wife except she has been guilty of fornication or gross impurity, Then if she marries, you make her an adulteress, and you make the man who marries her an adulterer. Furthermore, in the passage we read in Matthew 19, verse 9, he says, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. So he says, if you divorce your wife, except it's for gross impurity, and you marry someone else, the law of the land may allow it. But you are guilty of adultery. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul teaches that Christians should not divorce. They should not do it. There's always that exceptive clause. The Lord doesn't say you must divorce in the case of gross impurity. There are many things in Scripture that would encourage us to seek a reconciliation, to seek to disciple and to bring back the erring one. But where that is not possible, God does allow for the dissolution of the marriage as if there had been death. That is how serious a thing gross immorality is. It is death to a marriage. But outside of that, Paul teaches Christians should not divorce. If you have a situation where the wife or the husband simply cannot live with their partner, there are various situations. Sometimes extreme violence. Sometimes extreme drunkenness. Sometimes some form of what the world calls insanity. Not quite sure in most cases that's a just description of it or not. But where living under the same roof becomes impossible. He says, if they depart, yet they must not marry. Nor must they ever enter into a relationship where they cohabit with anyone else outside of the bonds of biblical marriage. He even goes to such an extent as saying, a Christian, a person who comes to Christ and their husband or wife is left unsaved, the Christian may not divorce an unsaved spouse just because he rejects the gospel. This is a very, very, very important subject. There are churches all around America where people come in and they say, I've got saved, but my husband's not saved, or my wife's not saved. I don't have the fellowship at home. I don't have the comfort at home. We don't have the unity of thought and purpose at home. And therefore they start to have an affair with another professing Christian in the church. Paul abominates that. You have no right to divorce a person simply because you've become a Christian and they are still a rejecter of Christ. As if the unsaved partner refuses to live with the Christian unless that Christian repudiates Christ, then the Christian is not bound to him, but is free to acquiesce in the divorce imposed upon him or her. But I believe the word of Christ still stands. Personally, I believe that they are not free to remarry unless their partner has either remarried or gone into great immorality and cohabitation or what with another. Our confession of faith says nothing but adultery or such willful desertion as can no way be remedied by the church or civil magistrate is the sufficient cause for dissolving a marriage. Many people take that as saying that desertion, just the act of somebody walking out, frees the partner to remarry. Confession doesn't actually say so. And I believe the word of Christ must be that which is central to the whole debate on divorce and remarriage. He says the only reason, the only ground, the only time when a partner can ever divorce and remarrying is because of porneia, because of gross, intolerable immorality. Anything else would be adultery. Now that is the condemnation seventh commandment. My time is gone, but I have to finish by referring to the power to obey the seventh commandment. Man has never found it easy to obey any part of God's law, and especially this particular part. It wasn't easy in Old Testament times. Judah fell into sin. Abraham and Sarah fell into sin. David fell into sin. It wasn't easy in New Testament times. As I've indicated, there were terrible moral lapses in the Corinthian church. Remember, this was a church in revival with miracles happening all around them. You read church history. This was a plague. Immorality is not a modern thing. It has always been there as a great challenge to the Church of Christ. And it's certainly not easy for people to obey it today. To keep yourself pure in this society requires supernatural power. There are fundamental natural urges in human beings that God has created, and they are very, very strong. Heterosexual desires are not wrong. They're gifts from God, unless they are nurtured and indulged outside of marriage. And if they are so indulged, they cause great guilt, deep hurt, and they leave lasting scars. But thank God there's pardon. After going down a list of moral crimes, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified." The call of the gospel in Isaiah 1 still rings powerfully today. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins have been as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So there's pardon. We can go to an unchaste, impure world, and we can preach the cleansing virtue and value of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is there pardon, but there is victory. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." It's the simple key to a holy life. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not and cannot fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans 12, "Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, and prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Read carefully Colossians chapter 3. The first 10 verses particularly. "If you're risen with Christ," he says, "set your affections on things which are above. Don't set them on things of earth. Mortify your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, impurity, inordinate affections, lusts that are boiling over." He says, put them to death. How? Set your mind on Christ as you used to walk in those things. But you put them off. Keep on putting off the old man. Keep on putting on the new man. That's when you get the power of purity. Romans 8 verse 11 says, "If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Victory doesn't come floating in a neat package from heaven. Victory comes in the battle where you face the real wickedness and corruption and weakness of your own heart, and the temptations of the world and the flesh and the devil. And by setting your affections on Christ, you put to death the motions of the flesh. Paul puts it this way in Romans 13:14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh. See how up to date he is? You see how simple, yet how profound? When a man tells me he wants to stop smoking, but he keeps 20 cigarettes in his pocket, I know he's only joking. He's fooling himself, and I'm not going to be fooled. When a man tells me he wants to get victory in his mind over impurity and filthiness, but he's sitting watching filthy television programs, I know he's only fooling himself, and I refuse to be fooled. When a man is going out and getting all sorts of stupid and filthy magazines, and saying, oh, I want to be faithful to my wife, he's a liar. The Bible says, do not make provision for the flesh. When you stick your hand in the fire, don't come crying when the blisters come. Don't stick your hand in the fire in the first place. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The seventh commandment is a powerful indictment of the purest person among us. It exposes the wickedness of heart as well as the wickedness of our lives. It crucifies easy self-righteousness and leaves us no place of refuge in ourselves. In doing so, it drives us to the gospel. And the gospel leads us to Christ. And Christ enables us to delight in the law of God in the inward man, and live in obedience to it. Now our obedience is not perfect, but our Savior is. He is able to keep us from falling as we walk with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us continually from all sin. That is the best way to fulfill the command, keep thyself pure.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.